I was impressed with a theme here that comes up really surprisingly a lot in the Bible, a lot in the New Testament, a lot in life. 24:42, therefore be on the alert. Those four words, be on the alert. For you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Verse 44, for this reason you be ready. Be on the alert. Mark's account reads, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. And then Mark's account says, what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. It could be, and often is translated, watch. The Greek word there is gregario. So you find somebody named Gregory, why, his name means watchful, alertness. This whole passage in the following chapter as well is on the second coming. You know, like verse 42, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Verse 30, the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Verse 37, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. 39, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And verse 44, Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Verse 46, blessed is that slave who finds whom his master finds so doing when he comes. And it's in verse 48 and 40 or 50, and even the next chapter, the parable of the 10 virgins, it has to do with the coming of Christ. The bridegroom comes, come out to meet him. And verse 13, be on the alert. Same thing, same phrase, same word. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Mark's account adds, when the Son of Man comes. Be on the alert. In the context, it is in the context of the second coming. And the big thrust here in this passage is the universalness. Verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, a universal meltdown. Verse 35. And secondly, the unexpectedness of that day, verse 36, of that day and hour no one knows. So he says, be on the alert, be ready, be watchful. As verse 38, it says, as in those days, like the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building, they were marrying and giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with those activities, but it's just that they were preoccupied with those activities. They were distracted, they had taken up with those activities, and so they were. And so the day came upon those, the flood came upon them unaware, they were unprepared, and it came upon them like a trap, and so the Lord says it'll be just like that when the Lord returns. And so he is saying, be on the alert. Let's look at this phrase. Let's look at this thought. This thing of watchfulness. This thing of being on the alert. Being on the ball. It's the way my dad always used to put it. Stay on the ball. I don't know what it meant, but I knew what he meant. But I say it's practical in all of life, isn't it? I mean, you see that? That's the one thing that the parent wants to emphasize upon is his 16-year-old son or daughter, when he's starting to drive, stay on the alert. Watch out. You know, defensive driving, isn't it? A lot of it is just staying on the alert, seeing, observing what could happen, the dangers that could be out there that could approach if this fella did this and he did that. And eventually, you know, an experienced driver, it just becomes secondhand. But you're always thinking that. There's nothing difficult physically about driving to 800 miles or 500 miles in a day's time. There's nothing physically difficult about it. But what's difficult about it is this right here, staying on the alert, mentally alert. You've got to watch all the way. and if you don't, you're likely dead. An employee on the job, that's what the employer wants, someone who's on the alert, someone who's watching. Again, referring to my father when I was growing up and a teenager, and I can still hear my father telling me, "Bob, do I have to tell you every move to make? Can't you see that that's what needs to be done? Wake up!" The employer wants the employee to be on the alert. A machine operator, if he's alert, he can tell there's something wrong, right, Michael? He can tell there's something wrong just by the sound of it. A farmer, it's no drive-by job, is it, Bob, to watch, scout the crops? You know, watching for this, bugs and disease, and you've got to get, we find out there, you know, you've got to get down and look at them. You've got to get right down there and look at those lower leaves. You've got to look at those blossoms. You've got to be on the alert. If you catch it in time, you know, an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure. If you're on the alert, you can catch it. How about the athlete, Seth? You know, he's got to be heads up. Right? You tell your men that, right? Heads up, watch, come on now. And so it is spiritually, same thing. And almost needless to say, this is military language. Be on guard, be on the alert. What happens, Michael, if you're in war and a guard falls asleep on duty, what happens? You get arrested. I've heard stories where maybe in other times, in other armies, where you'd be killed, right, if you fell asleep on duty. They wanted you sharp. They wanted you watching. A lot depended upon it, whether or not you were alert or not, because there's an adversary out there. And so here is this theme. Stay on the alert. Let's proceed. And looking at it somewhat topically, but yet... about a half a dozen scriptures here I'd like to invite you to turn to. The next is in the next chapter. We have Matthew 24, then Matthew 25, now Matthew 26. We come to the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26 and verse 38. The Lord in 37, He was grieved and distressed. 38, My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. Keep watch with me. The Lord wanted them to watch with Him. There's some benefit about united prayer, some benefit about the prayer meeting that is special. Watch with me. It's godly, it's good, it's helpful, it's encouraging, it's consoling to pray together. Watch with me. And I say it's encouraging, it should be encouraging, but in this situation, because of their unfaithfulness, it was a discouragement to Him. We see that in verse 40. So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? You couldn't eke out an hour? And in verse 41, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. He gives a reason there. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Have you ever noticed how often this couplet occurs in Scripture? Watch and pray. Around 5 or 6 times, watch and pray occurs in the New Testament. It's like a soldier, a reconnaissance man. He's got to do those two things. He's got to watch and he's got to report. It doesn't do any good to do all the watching if you don't report and call in for help and firepower. And it doesn't do any good to report if you don't watch. You've got to have some information there. You've got to have some observation there. And so he says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Here you are walking down the midway of Vanity Fair and you're going to be hit with temptation. That's all right. It's expected. It's all right as long as you pass by temptation. But he says here the danger is entering in to temptation. And so watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. It requires some strength. It requires some strength of heart, some power. You know, we need power. We need some support over here. Watch and pray. He's calling for support, for help, for power. And a lot of times all the time, that's exactly what you need if you are going to pass by temptation rather than enter into temptation. It takes strength to pass by that temptation. In contrast to weakness, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And we see that this thought brought out again in a more clear way in Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse 34. 21:34 of Luke. And verse 36. Keep on the alert at all times. Keep on the alert. There's that same word, gregario. At all times, praying in order that you may have what? Strength, power, to escape, to avoid, to not enter into temptation. You know, in high tide, the boat doesn't catch on the rocks, I always say. So you've got to be filled with the Spirit, strength to escape. All these things, what things? Well, to get that, we've got to go up two verses, to verse 34. Be on guard. Guard duty, watch, alert, that your hearts may not be weighted down. And this is the big issue, isn't it, in the Christian life? It's the heart. That's what we got to especially watch, is watch the heart. Watch your heart with all diligence. Proverbs chapter 4. Watch your heart. Guard your heart. The heart is the heart of the matter. It's the rudder on the ship. It's the computer in the business. It's the eye to the body. It's everything. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You lose fellowship with God, so that your hearts may not be weighted down. How many ferries have been sunk because they were weighted down? They had too many people. They tried to escape from Cuba or whatever on this little boat, and they had too many people on there, and the thing sank, weighted down. A plane, Keith Green's plane, you know, it went down because it was too much weight. The other day we were having to dig a hole to repair a leak in the ground, and it would have been easy digging, except the mud kept sticking to the shovel. It was the weight on the shovel that made it hard digging. And so let your heart be weighted down. Lay aside every sin and the weight which does so easily beset you, you see. Weight it down with what? The three D's. Dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of life. Where's the D in that? Paraphrase, decisions. Dissipation. What's it mean? It means thin. You know, it's dissipated. You spilled the milk on the ground, it's still there. It didn't go into non-existence, but it's all dissipated and it's useless. A lot of things, they are not useful unless they're concentrated. You know, here you are out in the field, you've got a flat tire, and so you tell the boys, go home and get the air tank. Well, air, there's plenty of air right here. We've got air all around us. Now, I need that air because it's concentrated, you see, not dissipated. A lot of things must be concentrated. Steam, for example, or you have no power. That's where the power is in the concentration. And so it is with our heart. You've got to avoid dissipation, being scattered out, too thin, here and there, chasing around, you know. Dissipation. And secondly, drunkenness. That's any form of excess. So maybe not, nothing wrong with it. But excess, the excess, that's where it becomes wrong. You know, this thing has become too much. It's too much of a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing, but it's just too much. Dissipation and drunkenness, and thirdly, the worries of life, decisions and cares and so on. It may come a time, you know, we've got to simplify our lives and got to get back to the bare essentials again. The worries of life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Sometimes we have to set a trap, you know. There's coons bugging us or a fox bugging us or whatever, you know. And you set this trap, you know, and it's kind of scary. Roger is showing us how to set this conibear trap. It's kind of scary, you know, because things could happen. It's unexpected, sudden. And so it says, that the day of God will come upon, it says right here, so it will come upon all those who dwell on all the face of all the earth. What a picture, a trap, so sudden, so irreversible. They're caught in their sins. And so he says, verse 36, here's the application, keep on the alert at all times. Praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, make it to the end, to get there, to not apostatize, to not wipe out, wash out, but to make it to the end. Make it a well-spent journey. Watch and pray, he says, in order that you may have strength to escape. Sometimes, you know, in wrestling, a man may get a hold on another fella. But if that other fella is strong enough, he can break the hold. An animal can break out of the trap if he's strong enough. Strength to escape. When Jared was about probably 4 years old, why... my father observed Jared taking a toothpick and imitating him with that toothpick, imitating my father smoking a cigarette. My dad quit. He had tried to quit many times before and never did. But when he saw that, he right then and there quit smoking cigarettes for the rest of his life. That thing right there gave him the strength to quit. He wasn't regenerate. He wasn't a Christian. But that incentive gave him the strength to quit it. And I know that's a lot of the time the reason we are not getting victory over sin is because we don't have enough strength, enough determination, willpower, frankly, to quit it. Of course, we're talking about the power of God here. But it's also, you know, like Ravenhill says, we're as holy as you want to be. Praying for the strength. Lord, you strengthen me, that I may escape these things and make it to the end. Now, Acts chapter 21, or chapter 20 rather. Acts chapter 20, and we have verse 31. Therefore, be on the alert. Same thing. Be on the alert. Watch. Remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Years, fears, tears. Why was Paul that way? Why? Years, tears, fears. Why? Is he saying be on the alert? Why was he so concerned? For that, you've got to come up here to verse 28. Why be on the alert? Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves. Now, admittedly, this is an address. This is a pastor's conference. Verse 17, he gathered the elders. And verse 28, they're called overseers. Verse 28, they're called shepherds. It was a pastor's conference. And it especially applies to them because they are watchers. Hebrews chapter 13, it says, obey your leaders, submit to them. For they what? They watch for your souls. A shepherd is a watcher. In Isaiah 56, 62, God says, I've set watchmen upon your walls. But it applies to every one of us in some measure. Every one of us. We're to be our brother's keeper. We're to watch. And first of all, he says, watch for yourself. Secondly, watch for the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So watch for yourself. Yeah, the shepherd's got to watch for himself. You know, of course he does. But secondly, he's got to watch for the flock. He'll look, watching, observing the flock, you know. Watching for a sheep, you know, some sign of disease. What? You know, what's happened here? This sheep didn't come up to the bunk tonight. And, you know, some weakness, some disease, and so on. And wandering off on what? Where is he tonight, you know? And so you go look So watching the flock, and then what's another thing that a shepherd must watch for, guard for, be alert for?
The enemy.
Yes, and that's mentioned, the enemy. That's mentioned here in verse 29, the wolves. I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. And then he gives three attributes regarding the wolves. He says, in verse 29, they don't spare the flock. They don't really care for the flock. They don't really care for the testimony of the church, the unity of the church, the peace of the church. They've got their plan, their program, their desire. They do not care how it affects the church. A second attribute is verse 30. They speak perverse things. Generally, there's some false doctrine there. There's some perverted doctrine, some twisted scriptures involved. It's not balanced right. And then a third attribute of the wolf, to draw away disciples after them. They want to do some leadership themselves. They want to have a following themselves. And so he says, be on the alert. Watch out. It's real. Now we go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. First Corinthians 16, verse 13. I'll read this with no comment, except that Paul is wrapping up his letter to the Corinthians. And why, Paul, what's really important to you? What do you want to tell us right here at the end of your letter? Here's what I want to tell you. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. So be on, same thing, gregario. Now Ephesians chapter 6. Same way at the end of Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 18. 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So he's talking about prayer, talking about praying for others, and he says, be on the alert. Again, it's watch and pray. In other words, you see a brother, a sister has got some needs, what do? You go and tell somebody else, right? No, you go and tell God. Don't talk behind your back, tell God. Pray to God. Ask Him. Or report to Him, you know, Lord, it looks like this and this is going on. Would you be pleased to meet her need, meet his need? Would you help him in this way? And so on. Be on the alert with all perseverance. Keep on in petition for all the saints. And Paul says, pray on my behalf. Here's an example of how we're to watch and pray for others. Pray for me. Utterance. Hell, that I might be able to open my mouth and boldly speak. Next is Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, verse 2. 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Again, it's watch and pray. And there are other references we could turn to, but perhaps so little comment it wouldn't be profitable. Let me just read Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 2. It's a message to the church at Sardis. And he says, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds and you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Same thing. Be on the alert. Watch. Wake up. Strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. If, therefore, you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you'll not know at what time I will come upon you. And then in Revelation 16, verse 15, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. And last, Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. There it is again. Be on the alert. I mean, do you suppose that the Word of God, the God of the Word, is trying to tell us something with that much repetition? And he gives a reason here, another reason. We've got an adversary, the devil, prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Could Scripture be put in any heavier language, any more scary language? The other day, our neighbor, who lives about 800,000 foot away from us, she told us that she's seen the mountain lions have made a den in a brush pile just north of her house. She's seen the cubs. And she saw the mother walk by her house, you know, like 50 feet away when she was sitting on the deck, and hollered at it, but it just stood there. And then the other night, Bethany was up late studying, and she heard it scream five times. So, you know, it tend to make you think a little. Be on the alert. You know, the devil is like a lion prowling about. We have an invisible, fierce enemy that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't want you to go on with God. He doesn't want you to walk in victory. He wants to destroy you. He wants to shame God by way of you. And so he is prowling about trying to destroy. And so be on the alert, just like if a lion were outside your house. Eve, she should have been more on the alert, right? Or she might not have been deceived like that. David should have been more on the alert when he came to the sanctuary and asked the high priest for some bread to eat, you know, and alas, Doeg, the Edomite, was there and overheard it and reported it to Saul. And he later said, I should have known, or words to that effect, that Doeg was going to do me bad. Be on the alert. Jehoshaphat, he should have been more on the alert and not got into that alliance with old Ahab. God wasn't with him. He was an apostate. What do you mean, go to battle together? Jonathan was on the alert and discerned something different about his father, and he warned David to his salvation. Already enough spears had been thrown. Nehemiah was on the alert when Shemaiah said, come on down, let's meet together. Shemaiah perceived that God had not sent him. He was on the alert. And so we should be on the alert in the spiritual realm. On the alert, sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit of God. You know, those 10 virgins, you know, it says, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. Isn't it a something? But five of them at least had oil. They had some oil in their lamp. Oil is a picture of what? It's a picture of the Holy Spirit, right? And so here we are as Christians. We're called to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to mortify through the Spirit. We need to be spiritual men and women. And so be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God told Philip, go up and join yourself to this chariot. Isn't it wonderful, you know, when you have a sense of God leading you to talk with somebody? Paul, you know, he tried to go into a certain place, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit him. Good thing he didn't go. He wouldn't have the Spirit of God with him, not in any powerful way. So sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit and the providences of God. Like this woman that Terry is telling about, you know, just one providence after another. Apologize, apologize. God does those things. And sometimes we catch it, sometimes we don't. The warnings and the reproofs of the Spirit of God. Sometimes these warnings and reproofs will come to a brother or sister. You know, and you afterwards you feel like, you know, I hope that brother, I hope he was entirely honest with me. I hope he told it to me as strong as he felt it. I hope he wasn't too lean, too light on me, because I don't want to miss what God might have been trying to tell me there. You see, the warnings of the Spirit of God. Watching our conscience. You know, Paul says, I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense before God and men. Things that defile our conscience, make us ashamed. Be sensitive to that. Be on the alert for these things. Lord, what's going on here? You know, this just, help me on this. Strengthen me in this. Decisions that need to be made. And it says in Ephesians 5, it says, see that you walk circumspectly. That's being on the alert. Circumspectly. Spec, you know, like spectacles. Circum, around. So you're walking around, watching. Walk circumspectly, not like fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. Understanding what the will of God is. Being on the alert. It says, that verse that Sam quoted last Sunday, you know, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. There was a man who was on the alert. I considered my ways. He was on the alert. He observed this and this and turned his feet to God's testimonies. Psalm 119:59. It says in Hebrews, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That sounds like we're supposed to be on the alert. And he warns them in Hebrews, you're dull of hearing. You're dull. You're not alert. You ought to be teachers. And you need somebody to teach you again. It says in Proverbs 22 that I need to turn to it. Proverbs 22:3. The prudent sees the evil and hides himself. The prudent sees the evil and hides himself. He's alert, awake, watching, sees it. See, this morning, Roger mentioned that we've got a whole brood of what kind of bugs? Bores. And they bore into the wood. And so, you know, he saw some evil. And they're back there plotting to destroy the chapel. Whole cluster of them. I saw him after he said it. And I'd seen him 2 weeks ago. Just unusual clusters of them, right? You know, but I wasn't prudent enough to do anything. The only thing I had on hand was Windex, and that didn't do much. So I let it go. But sees the evil and hides himself. You know, David saw some evil other times, and he hid himself. He spent a lot of time hiding in the wilderness. And Elijah hid from Jezebel, and Paul hid, and the disciples hid, and the Lord Jesus did not walk in Judea because the Jews were out to kill him. Seeing the evil and hiding himself. Noah saw evil coming. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark, right? And saved himself and his household. And so here, there's the big picture. We can see calamity coming. This ship, the world is like a ship and it's sinking. And so we prepare an ark, our heart, our place. Our heart is the ark, and there we prepare a place for the Lord Jesus Christ, and prepare for the calamity to come by being saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. The prudent sees the evil and hides himself. Hiding, hiding, hiding in thee. So may God help us be on the alert. What regrets? You know, don't you feel that based on the degree of calamity from your dullness, you know, you got to regret. Oh, if I'd just been halfway awake, I'd have seen this. Well, think of people that go through their lives and never get it right on the big thing and end up in hell.